Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Rita Roy, CEO at the National Spine Health Foundation, and I'm your host for the Get Back to It podcast, where we tell real stories of healing and recovery. What does it mean to get back to it? It means overcoming injury through treatments that work in order to return to the people and activities you love, whatever that looks like for you. It means getting back to your life. We're here to share the success stories of those who did just that. And some of these stories you are not going to believe. At the Get Back to It podcast, our goal is to tell stories of spinal champions who have been able to achieve a better quality of life through spinal healthcare. In today's episode, I'm speaking with Allison, a spinal champion who began experiencing back pain while figure skating as a teenager. After several back surgeries and months of physical therapy, Allison is now able to participate in all of the activities that she loves, including skiing. Now that you know what to expect, let's get back to it and dive right into Allison's story.
At age 15, I started having back pain while figure skating, and my doctor sent me for physical therapy, and I tried chiropractors and a massage. I stopped figure skating by age 16, and my back pain improved, although it was still sore.
Surgery is usually not the first recommended course of action for back pain. In fact, most times, back pain can be treated through non-surgical interventions like the ones Allison tried. This is why it's so important to see a spine specialist when figuring out the best treatment for you.
Despite my ongoing back pain, I was able to begin college and start pre-vet studies to go on to be a veterinarian and had a job with a local pet clinic. And one night when we were cleaning up after the pet clinic, just putting away a folding table, my back went out. I had such intense pain in my back and shooting pain down my legs that I couldn't even stand up.
Because of this pain, Allison had an X-ray and MRI done. These showed she had herniated discs at L4 and L5 and L5S1. Again, Allison tried some non-surgical treatments like injections, but didn't see much result.
While the pain decreased a little, I was walking with a limp and guarded gait. Ultimately, I made the difficult decision to withdraw from college because I was unable to work with the farm animals due to my spine.
At 19, Allison proceeded with a discectomy surgery for her L4, L5 disc. After surgery, Allison was excited by what seemed like a full recovery. She felt like she'd gotten her life back. But then, a year later, something unexpected happened.
I was out playing frisbee when suddenly I felt a familiar twinge in my back. The MRI showed a disc bulge at L5, S1, and spinal stenosis. My original surgeon recommended me to the chief neurosurgeon because he felt my case was too challenging for him. The chief neurosurgeon recommended a spinal fusion, but I didn't feel comfortable with this recommendation. Instead, I returned to my primary care doctor and asked for a referral to a teaching hospital in Boston. There, the spinal surgeon recommended a discectomy, laminectomy, and laminotomy.
Allison's decision to seek a second opinion was a crucial one. Oftentimes, we believe that the doctor is the ultimate decision maker in our healthcare treatment, but this isn't always true. While doctors are the experts in their field, there are often many different treatment options available, and there is not always one singular course of action. Patients should be comfortable with the treatment options they choose and comfortable seeking second opinions from experts who can help them with that decision.
I was very happy to have received a second opinion on my back surgery and decided to have the discectomy, laminectomy, and laminotomy that the second spinal surgeon recommended. While this surgery immediately relieved my pain, it took months of physical therapy to regain more function.
Surgery is usually just the beginning of the recovery for back treatments. It is the actions a person takes after surgery that begins the long-term healing process. For Allison, this meant stretching and core strengthening activities daily and beginning yoga classes.
Although it took many months to regain full function of my back, I'm excited to let you know that it has been over 20 years since that surgery, and I have my life back. After After my surgery, I was able to return to college and earn a degree in business administration and build up a career in disability insurance. Best of all, I have been able to stay physically active all of these years. In fact, I began skiing at age 35 and I'm now a regular on the slopes. For my 40th birthday, we celebrated with a family ski trip to Breckenridge, where I got to give my first ski bowl a try.
Allison's story shows how back pain doesn't have to stop you from the life you love. Instead, successful treatment can get you back to the activities you love or help you find new activities you love, like how Allison discovered her love for skiing. Allison, your story really highlights the fact that there is no one set course of treatment for back pain and really how important it is to advocate for your own health. What prompted you to seek that second opinion? And how did you get the courage to advocate for yourself at only 20 years of age?
I think for me, what really prompted me to seek a second opinion was this gut feeling that a fusion wasn't the right choice for me. I left that appointment with the chief neurosurgeon, like really upset and almost distraught. You know, I'm young and in an incredible amount of pain. I think through talking about it with my family, they encouraged me, you know, go get a second opinion. What's it going to hurt? You can always go back and get the fusion if you want to, but see what other options are available.
Yeah, that's such a huge step. And it's great that your family was there to encourage you and support you. I think a lot of times people just get that first opinion and they just think that's the end of the story. We tell people, get a second opinion, get a third opinion. I mean, a lot of times, you know, if the first one is different than the second one, the third one might shed light on one direction or the other, because ultimately you have to feel comfortable with your doctor, your surgeon. You've got to feel comfortable with the decision you're making. It's your body. And that's what we say, that you know, we all have to advocate for our own health. And, you know, I don't think any surgeon doesn't want to do the right thing, but your story illuminates that there are multiple ways to solve a problem and you've just got to pick the one that's right for you. And, you know, a lot of times our doctors on our Spine Talks programs will say that, you know, it's a close relationship that you're developing with your surgeon. And so you need to feel good about that relationship. And if, you know, if you walk out of that appointment feeling distraught or unhappy, definitely need to talk to another professional. It's amazing that you did that.
Yeah. And, you know, I had gone back to the original surgeon who did the first surgery, and I'm really thankful he, like, you know, was candid and said, this is beyond me. So I didn't have the same level of trust built up with, say, the chief neurosurgeon. But I think for me, it was really clear to go seek out someone with even a higher level of expertise. I mean, I was already at like the chief neurosurgeon of a hospital system.
Yeah.
But he didn't specialize in spinal surgery. He was, you know, a neurosurgeon. So being able to ask for a referral to a teaching hospital and wind up with a true spinal surgeon, I think that gave him the expertise to recommend a surgery that was more fit for me and ultimately had a much shorter recovery, like 3 weeks compared to 6 to 12 months.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so brilliant, Allison. And I really just commend you and really just want to underscore, you know, what you're saying here, because that's intimidating. I mean, here you're a young person, you're meeting with the chief of neurosurgery. That's sort of the top of the mountain, you know, in things. And yet to have the insight and the wherewithal to say, this doesn't feel right. That's really awesome. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
You know, and I wonder also, you know, having worked around veterinary medicine and, you know, in the care of other species, you know, you sort of had some insight maybe into delivery of care. I mean, you were working with, obviously, with animals in veterinary medicine, but you know, I just wonder if that might have helped you in this decision making.
Perhaps, you know, like I had some exposure to like biology and things like that in college at that point. You know, honestly, I think it might have been seeing family members struggle with their health. For instance, my mom had rheumatoid arthritis. So, you know, she was always at the doctors and had a number of surgeries herself.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had mentioned my family helped me advocate for myself, but I think, you know, my mom had probably learned to do it for herself and she helped me do it for myself.
Right. That's incredible. You know, and again, in underscoring that journey of getting a second opinion, I think what you said was so important that you wanted to look for somebody who was specifically a spine expert. And I think that's another really important thing is to find a doctor who really specializes in spine, because that's where you're going to get probably the best advice for your care. So that was really smart. To even know to ask for that. That's awesome. Really
Thank
awesome.
Thank you.
Question that comes up is, you know, sort of, or what would be your recommendation to others who might not feel comfortable speaking up for their own healthcare? Or sometimes people feel like they're going to disappoint a doctor if they go and get a second opinion. What would be your recommendation to people who are kind of struggling with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can be difficult to stand up to someone with like so many years of expertise and training, but it's ultimately your own health, your own body, and you have to be comfortable standing up for yourself. For me, it made the difference of getting my life back and being able to pursue sports and hobbies for, you know, the next decades, really. And in fact, the doctor who did my surgery had told me if I had gone forward with a fusion, like slowly over time, my disease would have just continued to progress to where I would just need my whole spine fused. So I think the alternative of not standing up for yourself is giving up your own health. Like you just have to do it and be comfortable with it and know that doctors want you to be healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's what we're here to do, you know, at the foundation is to give other people insight and good sort of recommendations on how to approach their decision-making for their healthcare. And, that kind of leads me to some other questions. And that is that when you were presented with these two different approaches, so you saw the neurosurgeon, he was recommending fusion, then you went to the teaching hospital and they were recommending this other approach with the laminotomy and laminectomy and discectomy. How did you decide what was right for you? In other words, was there other research that you did? You've mentioned your mom had a medical history with arthritis. Were there other patients that you spoke to? Were you wanting to find other people who'd been on this journey? What resources were available to you to make the choice?
You know, I read up and did as much research as I could on the different surgeries, talked through it with family and friends. You know, at the time, this was almost 20 years ago, resources like this where you could engage and chat with a group of people and hear from people who had a positive outcome. I wasn't able to find any at the time, which I think is why it's so great that this is here. I wish I had been able to engage with a group like this and kind of hear their experiences and stories.
Yeah. Well, we often find the National Spine Health Foundation, you know, when people find us while they're researching treatment options, we're just thrilled that they come to us. We're doing everything we can to optimize our reach, you know, on search engine optimization and all of our media platforms and getting in the news. And, we know that when patients are facing a debilitating, you know, back or neck condition that you can feel lost and alone and overwhelmed. Personally, speaking from my own experience as a spinal champion, when I found out that I needed a fusion, I just wanted to talk to other moms who had kids who had to go through this and figure out like, how do you manage carpools? How do you do the laundry? How do you empty the dishwasher if you can't bend or lift or twist for 6 weeks? How do you do that? And I really wanted to find someone to talk to. That is why I'm personally so passionate about what we're doing. And, I was so thrilled when you contacted us, Allison, that you found us. Tell me a little bit about how you found out about us.
Yeah, I was really looking for, maybe a volunteer opportunity to kind of give back and get involved. And I started really just looking for different foundations that were involved in orthopedics and spine health. And you guys popped right up in the search engine,
Yay!
Google, and, you know, I clicked in and I was like, wow, this really resonates with the story I could tell. And, you know, hopefully I could be able to help, maybe inspire others, help them a little bit through their back journey, let them know there can be positive outcomes at the end. So I was really happy when I found you guys, and I'm really excited to get involved.
That is awesome. We're so excited to have you as part of our community and part of our organization. I think there's so much that we can do to spread the good news about spinal health care. I mean, I think the reality is that not everybody's journey works out, right? And that just happens. We're human and we live in an imperfect world. However, more of the time than not, the stories end well. And often the good stories don't get told. You know, we hear more of the not good outcomes, which are important to learn from for sure. And so, you know, we say that we're champions for spinal health care because most of the time, if you get the right treatment, you're going to have a great outcome. And so we want to be that resource to encourage people, to give hope, and to give the insight and knowledge to learn what is best. We're this resource that's, our information is free. We work with the nation's top experts. We're very mindful and thoughtful about our information being unbiased and honest and truthful. And so, you know, in doing so, really want to be that resource so that people don't feel alone and that they know that there's someone they can reach out to talk with about how they managed that journey. You know, the recovery is something that people don't talk a lot about. And you were mentioning that you did yoga and a lot of physical therapy. Can you talk with me a little bit about the recovery and what that picture looked like for you?
Definitely. You know, for me, I was lucky in that I immediately came out of surgery pain-free.
Wow. Wait, can you say that again? I came out of surgery. wait, tell me what that was like. Tell me what that moment was like.
Well, it was kind of, you know, amazing, right? Like if you've had sciatic pain or like the nerve pain like that for just to be gone almost overnight is, you know, really a great feeling.
So you woke up from surgery and immediately could tell that there was no pain?
I could. You know, that being said, even by like week two or three, I had like such limited range of motion. Like, you know, all my muscles were weak and I was stiff. Like I had been laying down for what felt like a year, but it was only a couple of weeks.
But you had also had a period of time where you were not walking properly.
Yes.
You know, all of
yes.
that kind of, yeah.
So I think for me, the physical therapist I found was key. I think sometimes in physical therapy offices, you wind up like one patient among a queue of 30 in their office. But I was really fortunate. I found this one woman who saw me one-on-one, owned her own PT business. She came highly recommended to me. And I didn't know it at the time, but as part of my PT exercises, she was teaching me like some Tai Chi and yoga stretches.
Wow.
And it wasn't until like I started taking yoga classes months later, I was like, wait a minute, she taught me some yoga. but,
right.
you know, also knowing to gradually build up. Like at no point was I able to like jump in and do really hard exercises. Like it took months and even years and some of the things I do today to be able to build my core strength up to be able to do that. So the recovery process was, you know, I wasn't advocating for myself with doctors per se anymore, but I was definitely fighting for my own recovery, like mm-hmm. daily stretches, daily core exercises, spending a lot of time and energy to get better. And that was really important.
Yeah, I mean, the surgery, I remember my surgeon pointed his finger at me and looked at me and said, we're going to do our part. We're going to fix your spine. Then you have to do your part. And he said, and that part takes a lot longer than the surgery. You know, surgery is a few hours in the OR, and we fix you. But then you've got to do the work to get better, to get stronger. And that's a part that we sometimes forget, that that's a process. So you want to get in good hands and get the surgery done well. But then you also want to get in good hands for your recovery. That's awesome that you found that great physical therapist. That's amazing. Just curious, with the PT and insurance coverage and paying for that, a lot of times people ask us, well, I can't do that. I can't afford it. I can't afford to get good care. What did you experience along those lines? Did insurance cover your recovery, and how long, and what that picture look like?
Insurance did cover it for me. By the time I had my second surgery, I was in college, but I also had a job working at a software company by then. So I had my own health insurance. It was a good plan. They covered more or less your standard 20 visits a year, but you know, it was enough to go and attend after surgery. And again, I can't say enough great things about my physical therapist. You taught me so many great exercises that I could incorporate into my own routine after our 20 visits ended.
Yeah. The amazing thing is that you were young and learning these great stretches that weren't, they're not just recovery stretches. They're just lifetime, you know, stretches and exercises, right? So you just, all of a sudden that just becomes part of your habit. And now you've built a lifetime of really good care for your spine by doing that consistently. That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Definitely. It was something I learned then that I was able to bring with me through my life. It's been a big help.
So I grew up downhill skiing. I grew up in Colorado.
Okay.
And my family actually had a little place in Breckenridge. So when I saw your story, I really related to that on many levels. And I actually think I got my spondy in a pretty bad ski fall, which resulted in many years later, you know, in my fusion. But, you know, I just figured downhill skiing was not in my future anymore. And I, this past February, got in ski boots and on some pretty short skis and on some green slopes in Utah and went up and down the mountain. And it was absolutely awesome. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I'm returning to something that I love doing, and I'm doing it. So when I read your story about picking up downhill skiing, I was so excited for you. And I could totally relate to that. What made you want to pick up skiing? Tell me what that was like and how that felt. I mean, I was terrified, but I was determined. Tell me what it was like for you.
Yeah. So, you know, I picked it up about 7 years ago now, but my husband's always been an avid skier and my two boys were learning to ski. And, you know, by that point, my yoga classes had progressed to like some cardio kickboxing. Like I was in good shape. Yeah. And,
wow.
You know, I had this thought in my head. I'm like, you know, I'm in pretty good shape. I should give this a try. So I took a lesson. On my first lesson, maybe because I grew up figure skating, I made it right up to the blue or intermediate trails on the slopes. With
wow.
My husband being an avid skier, he's always preaching, especially with us having kids, in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, stay in control, don't go too fast. So I'm definitely not the fastest person on the hill, but, you know, I am in control, I'm having fun, and I'm out there with my family. So it's been great.
It's the best. That's the best. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm at this point, I'm just happy to be out there, you know, just enjoying the outdoors and the beautiful scenery and just taking it slow and just enjoying it. That's where I'm at. But, you know, being able to share that with your family is the greatest gift. It's just congratulations. It's awesome.
Thank you. I'm very thankful for it.
I am often really struck by the major life changes that people make when they are faced with a spine condition. And you experienced that twice in your young life. You had to quit figure skating, and then you had to drop out of college. I mean, that's pretty huge. Those are very, very big and potentially traumatic events for a young person. And you managed through that so beautifully. And I'm sure it wasn't easy at the time that you were doing it. We can look back now and talk about it. But I'm sure at the time it must have been really, really tough.
It definitely was tough. I think I would add, you know, having to leave college, like not only was it not being able to work with farm animals anymore, but like, I mean, my back was to a point where like walking down to the dining hall from the dorm or like across the campus to classes was like painful. Like there was no longer anything productive going on there. So it was really a point where, you know, no, I need to stop. But I think, you know, having support from my friends and family through that really helped me. And it was being able to find a new pathway. So, you know, even if I'm not going to figure skate, I can go do yoga. Even if I'm not going to do pre-vet, I'll go back for business administration. So it was being able to find new things that worked.
Yeah. No, that is so wonderful. You know, and again, we say when you've got debilitating back pain, it just sidelines you in life. It truly sidelines you in life. And, you know, you're describing not being able to walk from your dorm to the dining hall, like just can't even get there. It's hard to imagine that it can be that bad, but it can be that debilitating.
It really can be. I will say there was a chiropractor I saw, and even though, and this was before I think either of my surgeries, even though she wasn't able to help me physically at the time and me being so young, she gave me really good advice. And I remember she looked me dead in the eyes and she goes, "Allison, everyone's going to have something really difficult and a challenge they face all their lives." And she goes, "Yours is going to be your back." And I think for me, it gave me like the perspective, because I was young and I maybe didn't know that or didn't see that, to be like, all right, well, I really got to fight through this and this is going to be my challenge. But everyone else has one. It's just not their back. So.
Yeah. Oh, and it also sort of gave you permission to just say, okay, this is my battle and I'm going to go fight it.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Allison, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. We can't wait to share your story with the community. We hope that your story will inspire other people to take action if they've got back or neck pain and aren't sure where to begin their journey back to spine health. So thank you so much for being with us today. At the National Spine Health Foundation, something we believe in most is providing hope for recovery through sharing stories of success and expertise. It isn't always easy to find someone to relate to, even though 100 million adults suffer from neck or low back pain every year. To hear more stories of spinal champion recovery and access educational materials about spine health, visit us at spinehealth.org. If you're interested in supporting our show financially, you can contribute at the link provided. Thank you for listening.